Bless the Lord. Yeah, singing in the rain. There goes another picture in my mind. I love it. Turtles and robins. Praise him. He's wonderful. And it's been good, hasn't it, to pray too for the Lord's people across the world, for mission, for our brothers still on their trips, Peter and Roger. We are blessed and we're one. We're joined together. It's interesting that we had that focus on mission this morning, because I wanted to start just with a quote from J.O. Fraser, James Fraser. You may remember Pete mentioned him a while back, and it took me back to reading that book at university. This young missionary to the Lisu people in China. And I just wanted to make a connection with a proverb. I don't know if you've read this one recently. As cold water to a weary or thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. That's a beautiful proverb. We can think of application in many ways as we read that, but surely the greatest is the Lord coming to us who were afar off, him from another realm entirely, bringing good news. And we're recipients of that. We started this amazing grace. This is a gospel of grace. We've heard the Lord calling out to us with passion and urgency to let go of anything that would hinder this relationship that he's made possible. As cold water to a thirsty soul, a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. And this is a quote from James Fraser. He was only 22, apparently, I seem to remember, when he abandoned or left his promising engineering career. Young man. And at first sight of those Lisu people, the love of God stirred in his heart, those tribes people of Yunnan province, and he, clearly inspired by the Lord, had this immediate longing and affection for this people group the rest of his life. Travelled on horseback, compelled to share this good news with these people, the good news of Jesus. And he said this at one point early on: much of the spiritual teaching one hears does not seem to work, but I found that the cross of Jesus Christ works. I felt like a man perishing of thirst. This is him as a missionary. He said, I felt like a man perishing of thirst, to whom some beautiful, clear, cold water had begun to flow. I had so much to learn. It seemed to me as if God was saying, as I sought him — we've been encouraged to seek him, haven't we? And this is what James Fraser sensed that the Lord was saying to him at this point in his life: you are crying to me to do a big work among the Lisu. I'm wanting to do a big work in you. Now, those two aren't mutually exclusive, but I'm just quoting. This is what James Fraser, who'd been called and compelled to run after a people that the Lord had laid on his heart, and in the mix, he came to this place where, perishing of thirst, the Lord opened up, if you like, the benefits of the work of the cross of Christ. And it was as if to him some beautiful, clear, cold water was pouring out and flowing to quench this man's thirst. And you can read his story. It's amazing how the Lord moves on the back of this among the Lisu people. So his cry for the Lisu people was heard by the Lord, but somehow the Lord was wanting to work deeply in him in order to answer the longing for others. Sorry. It's been great, hasn't it, to pray together recently. Sense in my own life the Lord just digging deeper, breaking up the depths again. Listen to these verses, very familiar. Isaiah chapter 52. And in verse 7 we read, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." It's a wonderful chapter. You'll understand being chapter 52. It comes just before chapter 53. And we know what's contained at the end of 52, going into 53. Just the most remarkable, ahead of time, description of the work of the cross that Mr. Fraser was reminding us again of this morning. The suffering servant, the one and only, who is still and will forever be the only hope for those we've prayed for in Seoul. For our young people this weekend going into tomorrow. For all those, for Amoeba, for Steps of Hope. We, this room is filled, isn't it? Think of your dear daughter in China right now. Mm-hmm. Peter and Roger and all the people there ministering to. And your next door neighbour. And here in Isaiah 52, Isaiah is, it's all very prophetic, isn't it, with him being a prophet and all that. He's looking forward, in a sense, in time to the Babylonian captivity. And it actually panned out, didn't it? It actually happened. It was devastating. Jerusalem lying desolate. And in the beginning of that chapter 52, he speaks urgently to God's people. It's a wake-up call, isn't it? If you're there, chapter 52, awake, awake. Double for emphasis. I don't know what you're like, but I sometimes need a little bit of a reminder in the morning to wake up. Usually more than twice. Awake. Awake. And in their past, you remember, won't you, that they'd been enslaved in Egypt. In their history, it was part of their story. It was part of what they would think of, the awfulness of it, but also in light of that, how wonderful God's intervention and deliverance was. And that deliverance involved them being taken out and through and into the wilderness for a time. We know the story, don't we? So in the past, when enslaved in Egypt, they'd also known serious oppression and bondage. But in this chapter here, again, I love it. Even in the darkest moments, you'll find that the Lord is seeking, always seeking to bring great hope. Often when it seems like it's all over, when it's darkness abounding apparently, then the Lord's word comes and speaks hope, the promise of salvation. And that's where we get to in verse 7 in this chapter. Wonderful, isn't it? And you may remember last week I referred to beauty. I've just been pondering the beauty of God. There's a connection in my own heart with this. We sang at the beginning, didn't we? More beauty than the world has ever known. Not just the world, the whole universe. God's perfection we get by faith, and we've done it again this morning, to behold the beauty of God and a glimpse of such perfection transforms us. Bless the Lord. So here we have these words, how beautiful. I don't know if you've thought about feet of late. I don't think the point here is that feet per se are particularly beautiful. You may have a different view on that, but I don't think that's the emphasis here. Hopefully we'll see that in just a moment. But what wonderful words, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Now, bearing in mind the context, Jerusalem lying desolate, God's people far, far from home, and we have these words coming in. It's almost as if the greater the apparent darkness, the brighter, it's not the case objectively, but it's almost as if the brighter the light shines. I once had a report, it wasn't really a compliment, I don't think, it was a bit backhanded, but it said something like, yeah, Dave shines, but it's against a very dark background. So I think what the teacher was saying, it wasn't that great, it was just that the whole group was pretty awful. I think I'd done an alright essay, but anyway, leave that aside. It's sometimes our perception of it is that the light, when I don't know, in your own experience, if you've realized actually how desperately lost you are, it's then that the grace seems amazing. Now, the grace is always amazing, but if we have no sense of our need, we can somehow miss out on the amazing nature of the grace. Do you see what I'm saying? Objectively, God's grace is amazing, but it's possible for prideful humans to look at the grace of God and go, meh. Which is shocking, actually. But it's the goodness of God that leads us to this place where we see that all of us are absolutely lying desolate. And then, the work of the cross, the floodgates of heaven open, from the side of the Christ pours out water to thirsty souls. The prerequisite for having our need met is to realize we're utterly thirsty. And there's only one source that will slake this deep soul thirst. And that's the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Are we on the same page here? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for working in James Fraser. Even after he'd gone, he'd left everything. He'd left his promising career. He was there on the mission field, and God spoke to him like this. I want to do a work in you. I want to go deep in you. I want to plant a well right in the very depths. Oh, the well is deep. I can hear my dad saying that. That's how I came in. John chapter 4 in Italy. I'll never forget it. The first time the Lord really hit me deep. Oh. Are you thirsty? Don't get all tangled up in your head with your story and when you responded and when you were born again or filled. I'm not, bless the Lord for all of that. I'm talking today. We've been exhorted today. Haven't we? Now, seek me. Are you thirsty right now? For God alone, for his purity, for his spirit, for the work of his cross to be effective more deeply in our lives. Are we thirsty? Oh, praise him. Well, that's a good ground to come on. Lord, we thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, for your righteousness, for your spirit. sometimes the thirst, like with J.O. Fraser, is triggered by a desperate longing for lost souls. And you come up against a wall and you think, Lord, what have I got to give them? And the Lord's like, I've got this. I've got the turtles. I've got you. I've got them. I'm going deeper. Not just for you then to sit in isolation polishing your fellowship halo. No, but to meet, to answer, interestingly, his own heart's desire. Glory to him. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. So soon in Isaiah 52, the people of God in exile, soon they would know his salvation. Isaiah, I just popped down here. Again, it's prophetically seeing the messengers. Now go with us. I was having a chat with Mum about imagination, and it's okay for us to have imagination. The enemy abuses everything that's good. But in God, in him, we can use our imagination. So just imagine this. Isaiah prophetically sees the messengers bringing their joyous, oh, it's so joyous, this good news. And they're coming, kind of bouncing, skipping. Go on, go, imagine it. Are you seeing any animals? Young gazelles, stags, hop, skipping, coming with pace, jumping over the mountains with joy and good news. And the people were desperate for good news. So he prophetically sees this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. After this long, wearisome, burdened time of seeing Jerusalem in ruins, news would finally, and can we big that up, capitalize it, embolden it, finally come. The good news would finally come of Judah's redemption. Isaiah can see even now the bearers of the good news running. Can you see them in your mind's eye? Can you see? Here they come. Not dragging their heels. Running. Running. Bouncing. We've got to get the good news to them. They're running across the hills to this sad and forsaken situation. Oh, bless the Lord. We know, don't we, God was going to set his people free from captivity in the most surprising way. Defeating Babylon, you remember, we won't go into it now, but King Cyrus, wasn't it? Surprising how God works. And then rebuilding would be possible. Restoration would be possible. So inspired by the Spirit of God, clearly Isaiah deliberately uses this beautiful language. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Wonderful, isn't it? Beautiful feet. Loved. I was remembering that. We used to sing it when I was young. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Do you remember that old hymn? Maybe we can sing it if we've got time at the end. What do you think, Mike? Wingman. Never had that before. The word beautiful here for the feet It's lovely. It's got a sense of time of full bloom and also vigor, vitality. And I was just thinking about this, and you can turn to, we won't do now, but you can have a look in your own time. Again, it's this image of leaping and light-footedness with the swiftness of gazelles or young stags. Now, you probably go with me there to Song of Songs, would you? You don't have to turn, but the swiftness of gazelles and young stags. Don't you just love the metaphorical language? Listen to this. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag upon the mountains. You going with me in your imagination? The beloved running on the mountains, linking in with good news. And Song of Songs 8:14, again similar, make haste, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. Here he comes. Here he comes. Running for you. For me. For this whole world. The Lord God in Habakkuk is my strength. He will make my feet beautiful feet. Fancy this. Deer's feet. It's a picture, isn't it? He will make my feet like hind's feet. I think of Hannah Hernard there. Hind's feet in high places. Like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high hills. Oh, wonderful. Whoa, the rapid approach of the messenger. What a breathtakingly beautiful sight it was for Judah to see the messengers coming. Springing towards them over the mountains. These feet bore the gospel. These feet bore good tidings of joy. Proclamations of peace, salvation, and this, my friends, into bleakness itself, the announcement, our God reigns. Can I hear a little amen for that?
Amen.
Listen, our God reigns. That's what I got as well from your testimony. Our God reigns. He hasn't dropped the ball. He reigns. Bless his wonderful name. Our God reigns. So it's not so much the appearance of the feet and their beauty or otherwise, is it? You know what? I've heard stories of missionaries literally who've trodden paths and their feet have become gnarled and cut and broken. Not very beautiful, physically speaking. The beauty is that the Christ is on the move through his people, going to hard-to-reach places, digging deep into hard-to-reach parts of our lives. Glory to his wonderful name, and that's beautiful, my friends. Beautiful. Oh, hallelujah. The coming of these swift-footed messengers of the gospel of the kingdom of God is beautiful. There's a beauty in this gnarled and broken world, these desolate places, when the people of God rise up. Now, it may not be that physically you go, but let's not rule that out. But during the week of prayer, we went again, didn't we? We went again. We've gone again this morning. The mission heart of God is relentless. I could hear it through my brother Mike as he urged us to pray for Seoul. Seoul? Sorry, not Seoul. That was a cross between a seal and Seoul, sorry. Steps of Hope. these streets. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. 100 years after this, how are we doing? We've got 5 minutes, we're all good. Plenty of time. Coming into land, wingman. a wing and a prayer, thank you. I love how we're all working together again. There's a certain beauty in that too. 100 years after Isaiah's time, the very same, you're probably aware of this, the same vivid imagery used by Nahum in a prophecy concerning Judah's imminent victory over Assyria. Listen to these words, Nahum 1:15. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who brings good tidings, who proclaims peace. It's remarkably similar, isn't it? O Judah, keep your appointed feast, perform your vows, for the wicked one shall no more pass through you. He is utterly cut off. Obviously that had relevance and specificity, if you like, for that time, but I just can't help myself. Don't you just see him running on the mountains? Don't you just see him running all the way to the cross? Don't you? Don't you just see him having those beautiful feet pierced for you, for me? And in so doing, as well as the hands and the side and the crown of thorns and the nails and the scorn and becoming sin for us who knew no sin, that we in him might become, oh wow, that's staggering, the righteousness of God. Don't you just see him there, the beautiful one? The beautiful one at Calvary. And in Psalm 22, prophesied again, they've pierced my hands and my feet. Oh, praise him. Dave, I don't know if you remember this. Dear Dave, I remember. I've never forgotten it. Hit me like a ton of bricks, but in a really good way. Do you remember Psalm 22? When you talked about the bit just at the beginning, before the psalm even starts? I'd never seen it. Psalm 22. To the chief musician. Set to. Don't you just love it? The deer of the dawn. Now if you know anything about Psalm 22, it's pretty grim early on. Again, prophetic of this work, what J.O. Fraser had us there at the beginning, this work of the cross. And the little bit at the beginning, to the chief musician, this psalm is set to the deer of the dawn. Wow. And I remember you saying, surely this is prophesying the resurrected Christ. The deer, the one who we've been alluding to all this time. Springing over the mountains. Coming with good news. Glory, glory to this one. Surely, surely the most beautiful feat ever. And finally, as we close, perhaps in response, we remember, don't we, that Paul taught the Christians in Ephesus to put on the full armour of God. You know where I'm going, don't you? Bit of a foot theme. Forgive me. Just wonderful. The full armour of God, and in the light of all that we've prayed about today, oh, we need to be clothed. He's made full provision. Let's get the armour on. Spiritual defence against dark forces, militant dark forces of evil. And one piece of armour is described as, this is ESV, if you want New King James, you can add shod if you want, that's fine. Here's the ESV, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I really think Paul probably had in mind those beautiful words, and that were taken up again specifically, do you remember in Romans? He quotes Isaiah 52. You know that bit, how shall they hear, etc. Oh, bless the Lord. What should we do? I think we should put our shoes on. Do you want to? I do, I feel like getting my shoes on. Oh Lord. You, it's only ever been you. We are your hands, we are your feet. It's not that we're kind of doing our own little bespoke missions on his behalf. It's him on the move. He's working now, isn't he, today? He's working and he's wanting to call us up. Awake, awake. I want to do a deep work in you. Behold my beauty afresh. And then be clothed, in a sense, all over again, somehow in response to the one. And then he answers his own heart cry. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Sometimes we're so focused, and it seems right and good and proper, but we're just slightly off focus. We could be so focused, but just slightly off focus. And he gets our gaze again. You gave a word earlier. We look again. Lee followed it up. Did you hear those words coming through this morning? Look at the face of Christ. See those eyes looking back at us with nothing in between. Let go of every other thing. Shoes on.